Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Unfiltered. Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, and Zubin Mahente.
In the NFC West, a very challenging division, do you take Matthew Stafford or do you take the field in that division?
Yeah, I'll take the field because when you mentioned Russell Wilson, one thing that Seattle loves to do is that with DK Metcalf along with Lockett, they like to push the ball down the field. So that's going to get a lot of yardage there. Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, that's a West Coast, a real true West Coast system, dink and dunk. They don't have anybody that they rely on the vertical stretch game. So I don't know what that looks like. And then we obviously, whether it's Trey Lance or Jimmy G, we know that Kyle Shanahan, another team that likes to push the ball down the field. And then you talk about Arizona. We just talked about Kyler Murray and putting up big numbers there. So I think the field wins on this one.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, your smart speaker, or on ESPN News.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Our thanks to Andrew Lopez last hour. Chatted with him. Went over the Josh Hart deal. Best way to look at it, about 3 one-year contracts. Very team-friendly. Josh will be back. How many minutes he gets, we'll see. As we continue to put a wraps on summer league play and really start turning our attention to football. College football starting in about 2 weeks on Saturday. We spoke with Gary Smith. We'll be covering Tulane for the Picayune Advocate. We chatted with him, his thoughts on the scrimmage. And also, we spoke with Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints, his thoughts on what he saw Saturday and what he wants to see. And you know what? Practice was today. Practice 17 in the book. So Miss Amy just joins us from the Advocate and Picayune, covers your New Orleans Saints. Joined us all last season covering the black and gold as well. Amy, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Hello. A little derailed today, but that is the way that it goes when you're covering this team. Something always happens.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Rain, schedule, all that. But look, this is the last week, per se, that training camp kind of sort of goes. You're getting closer. You got your second preseason game going, and Amy, is it safe to say there still a lot of question marks when it comes to how this team's going to perform and really some of the position groups?
Oh, absolutely. And I personally think that some of those question marks won't be filled until after roster cutdown day. The Saints always go through, the casualties, I guess, to use kind of a gross word to describe that, after roster cutdown day. And I think that might be the answer to some of their problems. A lot of other teams they've got depth, and at some positions the Saints don't. So even though things are appearing to be cemented for some things, I don't foresee every question mark being answered until really ahead of week one. And I know that's not what Saints fans want to hear, but right, that's just how I see it.
We'll get to the mother of all obvious question marks here in a quick second. But Amy, I want to start on the defensive side here. I kind of feel the beginning of camp and early camp, it was, Sean Payton's words, a must position quarterback. I don't know if Ken Crawley read all the texts and tweets and reporting about that, but it kind of seems like it ticked him off a bit. Him and Paulson Adebo making some plays at practice, but specifically Crawley. I know Malcolm Jenkins spoke about him this week as well. What have been your observations from Ken Crawley this year or this camp?
Yeah, he's looked a little better than he has in some situations before. He did grab a pick today that was nullified by a holding penalty, if I recall that correctly. So obviously some things still left to work on there, right? But so far so good. He is what they have, and he is making the most of his reps. I want to see more from him on Monday, though, for sure, because it's one thing to go against your guys in practice, right? Mm-hmm. It's another to actually go up against different receivers.
That's a very good point, because where I was going to go with that afterwards is, while we see Marshall Lattimore have a nice camp as well, see you guys report that, hey, the secondary has sort of played well, does it say something about the receiving corps? Because sort of like that, Amy, I don't know. I got to see game action here as well. And what I mean by that is that maybe why Sean brings in Kevin White, who catches a touchdown pass from me and Book yesterday? You look at the two interceptions on Saturday. Coach didn't say it was all quarterback, didn't say it's all receiver, but you kind of left wondering if a more veteran receiver would have caused or maybe helped maybe those plays not be interceptions. I don't know. How do you look at that?
Yeah, I think that there's some holes there, right? You know, who knows how long Michael Thomas will be out. Marquez Callaway, you know, a great receiver, but you need to have more than one guy to be the leader there, right? Traquan Smith missed practice again today. Not sure what happened there, though he had missed several of the previous practices due to an injury that he sustained in practice a couple weeks ago. You know, further down the roster, but, you know, Jalen McCleskey went on IR this week. There's just a lot of moving pieces there, and nobody has really solidified themselves to be the number two behind Marquez. You know, obviously Michael Thomas is a different situation, but he can't play, so I'm leaving him out for now.
It's interesting because when you look at having a quarterback battle and somebody winning that, having receivers, at least you have an offensive line that's sort of doing that. And I found that very interesting that yesterday Tron Armstead touched on something I've brought up here on the show. At the beginning of camp, one of my questions or things to look at was, who does what Drew did? And I don't mean throwing the football. Drew did a lot at the line. He beat you pre-snap. He made calls. He made protection calls. He obviously audible things of that nature. And Tron yesterday said that kind of, it's everybody on the offensive line, but in particular one player and Eric McCoy.
Yes. And, Eric is, you know, he has a few more things to do now, right? You have that luxury of having Drew where he does, Drew did everything. He did everything. And so when you lose a guy like that, you're not just losing a passer. You're losing a guy who really read the defenses and called out the protections and was the guy when diagnosing everything in front of him. And so now it becomes a little more of you've got to do it collectively, right? And Teron said that Eric is doing a really good job at, you know, calling out some of those things, but it's not solely on Eric. It's on everybody. But Eric is smart. He went to Texas A&M, but he is smart, right? And I think having Drew here for the last two seasons helped him because he wasn't thrown into the fire having to do all of those things, right? He's kind of been eased in. And to quote Teron and, his assistant position coach, they think Eric is one of the best centers in the league, if not the best center in the league. And he's got more job duties on his plate, but he's excelling at it.
Speak with Amy Just, covers the New Orleans Saints. Follow her on Twitter at Amy_Just. So I'm working backwards towards the, you know, mother all question mark at position battle. But how surprised were you about the running back performance on Saturday? Kind of got the sense and feel that Saints fans were, wow, what happened to Latavius Murray? Devontae fumbles. Tony does as well. But Tony Jones Jr. kind of seemed to be the star out of that backfield, despite having two, you know, veteran running backs. I would have thought since Latavius Murray wanted more snaps, said at the beginning of camp, that kind of maybe would have been a game to shine. I'm not kind of saying he's in trouble or not, but what were your thoughts on the performance of the backs in Saturday night?
Yeah, I was a little puzzled by Freeman and Murray's performances. They didn't look like the guys that we've seen in previous years. I don't know if that's first game jitters. I don't know what that is. But I was a little concerned with that. You know, that's not what you want to see, right? You don't want to see all your backs fumbling or what have you. So I was impressed with Tony. Obviously, he's got some ball security issues to work on, but so does everybody else. So we'll see. That's another position group that I'm going to be paying attention to on Monday, just to see how well they rebound from their less than stellar showing last week.
All right, so we work back to the person that's going to be calling the plays and snapping the ball. And it's a battle between, obviously, Hill and Winston. Your thoughts on Saturday and through all of the different practices today, what, how would you handicap this race right now?
Man, I don't know. I want to get through another game. I want, you know, Jameis to go against the first team defense because, you know, he ran with the twos. Last week, Sean Payton did say that they were going to flip flop for these first 2 weeks. You know, so Taysom went with the one on Saturday, and Jameis, unless the plan changed, right, will go with the ones on Monday. I want to see more, right? You know, you can pick apart whatever you want in practice, but those aren't live reps. They're not actually getting sacked. They're not getting real pressure. And, you know, for me, I like seeing those game reps. I think they're more important, at least to me. I mean, the coaches obviously have a different philosophy, but I don't know. I thought we would know by now, and we don't. And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
Right. That was literally going to be my follow-up. Is it? Look, but look, Amy, I look at it like this, too. When you have so many, I guess, I wouldn't even say question marks, but just I don't know. There's I don't knows. I like what I see from Callaway. He looks the part. Can he do it? Can Troutman be your starting tight end? Can, you know, some of the other guys stay healthy on the line? Can Tre'Quan Smith be their guy? He can do, there's so much of that. And then at the same time, these two guys are trying to be the starting quarterback. I think that would be a hard offense to sort of run right now with Drew. I mean, you know what I'm just saying? Like, so it's, I think you need games. And Amy, one of the things that's going to be interesting to me is the patience of Sean Payton after he names a starter. Is it two losses, three losses? Is it the lack of offensive production but getting wins? I don't know. I just don't know if, or do you think that Sean names somebody and we could see the other guy shortly? You know, or does he have to stick with one, you think?
I don't know. And I know that's, you were like, oh, LMB, I don't know. But I really don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I am paid to be an expert, but I don't know if anyone knows. You know, like, it's just how much of the quarterback battle is dependent on Michael Thomas not being out there or, you know, Tre'Quan being hurt? How much does that affect these guys? I don't know. I don't know. You know, Teron Armstead, you know, takes a lot of vet days because they want to protect him. How much does that affect things, right? Like, there are so many what if questions to your point, and do any of them matter at all in this, or is there some weight to some or all, or yeah, I don't know. I thought we would know more now than we do. I don't know why I thought we would know more by now. Maybe I'm just like optimistic in that way that things would be settled by now, but they're not. And, you know, we just have to continue operating, you know, as we have been, just watching what happens in practice and, you know, really paying attention to what happens on Monday.
Well, at least we didn't get in fights today at practice. I mean, did anybody get in fights? Because apparently every other team in the NFC South that's practicing against the team gotten some altercations, including in Tampa, where Antonio Brown, there's a still of him slugging a Titans player. I mean, like, it connected. Left fist on the right jaw. So no fights today at Saints practice, huh?
No. There was one yesterday, though, at the very end of practice. But it was very small.
Okay.
Fights happen. It's football.
It is, no doubt. All right, let's close out, Amy, very simply with what is it that you want to see? Your top three things. You're going to be, you know, you have a notepad. You're up there. Are you ready to bring the coat? Are we bringing a coat? We get back in the zone?
I always bring a coat.
Okay.
I
all right, so
bring a coat.
You're in your coat. You got the notepad. What are the three things you're paying attention to?
Obviously, number one is QB. Number two is corner. And number three is running back.
Okay. QB, corner, running back. Give Amy a follow over on Twitter. And, of course, go read her stuff over in The Advocate and The Times-Picayune. Amy to follow is real simple. It's Amy _ just. Amy, looking forward to talking to you through the season again.
Thank you. But don't forget, my name's spelled weird. A-M-I-E, not A-M-Y.
There you go. Thank you, Amy. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Yeah, bye.
For sure. Quick break. When we come back, it's time for our baseball segment. Touch 'em all. Timmy Grubbs will give us the very latest. We have a player hit 40 home runs yesterday. Kind of not surprised, huh? Is he the MVP? Could it be the Cy Young as well? That was a hint as to who did it. If you follow baseball, it's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Report is brought to you by Ashley Barrios and Cutoff, State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. See Ashley today for all of your insurance needs. Kevin White, he's a new Saints receiver, the team signing him after working out for them on Tuesday. Head coach Sean Payton on what stands out about White.
Look, size, speed, he's young. You know, he's someone we'd like to work with. I like the way he runs. You see it on tape. Obviously, he's a former first-round pick, so he's still a younger player.
Back in 2015, White was the 7th overall pick in the first round. He has 0 career touchdowns. White, after his first practice on Wednesday, spoke about having not lived up to those first-round expectations.
Very frustrating. Just because I feel like I put the work in, I had the right mindset, and for whatever reason, it just doesn't plan out. But can't hang my head. Sometimes I ask why, but just got to keep going, and until the time comes, I'll go hard and do what I'm capable of.
The former Bear and 49er is happy to be given another opportunity.
I mean everything. You know, going on year 7, not really getting the op. Now that I'm healthy, I know a lot about the game. I know how the business works. I feel good. It's just means a lot, man, that someone else gave me a chance to live out my dream and kind of prove myself right and everyone else wrong.
We'll see how much he plays on Monday when the Saints host the Jags in the Dome at 7 o'clock. For more on the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold report has been brought to you by Ashley Barry Austin Cutoff, State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. See Ashley today for all of your insurance needs.
I was surprised.
I was definitely surprised.
Yep, we had no idea. Totally surprised.
Can you say jaw drop?
Who knew? State Farm, with these great rates?
The surprise everyone's talking about is the surprisingly great rates for home and auto insurance from State Farm, especially when you combine them.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today. 985-632-0988.
What would you say you do here?
Sports. Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Absolutely. I think anytime that you have a high-level competitor, it's going to make you better naturally.
That is quarterback Jameis Winston, as he was talking about does he and Taysom kind of make each other better here. So we'll hear a little bit more from Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. They both spoke today. When we come back here in a quick second, Tim Grubbs, though, will join us as we talk a little baseball, as we do each and every week. And again, at the bottom of the hour, we will hear from both Saints quarterbacks. Samario Davis also speaking today. So we'll do sound for the final 30 minutes of the show. Tim, how are you, sir?
Doing great. How are things back there?
You know what? Not bad, I guess. You know, I mean, like, other than, you know, I don't know what kind of football team the Saints are going to have. You're a Steelers guy. You're a Pittsburgh guy. What kind of football team are we hearing that the Steelers are going to have? Have you been following?
It's all over the road with the national media. Obviously, okay. It's local. The local media has, you know, their own little slants. And living afar with both following Saints and Steelers, that's why I love podcasts. I can, or in the internet, you know, I can still follow it. Mm-hmm. Najee Harris is having a great training camp, so
Tim. I told you Najee Harris is really good.
He's really good. Like, when you listen, and Tomlin and Sean Payton are both very good with their press conferences, but Tomlin is incredible. And when you hear him talk about him, it's incredible. Like, I don't think he's ever spoken at such a high threat, you know, and he's had Le'Veon Bell, and, you know, they've had some pretty big stars there over the years, but he speaks very high of him. So I'm excited. I'm a lot more optimistic about the Steelers' chances this year than the Saints.
Listen to you. They were 11-0 at one point. I have no idea what happened. The collapse. Well, they did win 11-0. I don't know if the Saints win 11 total. Anyway.
Well, they lost Devin Bush. And if you look, they were 8-0 with Devin. And then when they lost him, they went on to win a couple more games. But you could see the unraveling of the quilt. You knew that the defense wasn't as good, and obviously the offensive line fell apart, and it just fell apart after that point. And, well, they lost the first round of the playoffs, although I'm still convinced if that game was 5 minutes longer, they would have come back from that horrible first quarter.
I think one of the things that will be very interesting to me is to see how teams, I guess, sort of go on throughout the season and respond, you know, with those injuries, as you're saying, too, and really – at a competition level, I don't know if there's like a surprise team or not. I think the NFC is solid. It's stacked with solid teams. I don't know if there's a they're going to lose two games only type team in the NFC. Do you see that in the AFC? Because even with the Chiefs last year, I mean, they were really good. I think Buffalo made a bit of a run here as well. Do you think there's some five teams in the AFC? Four teams in the AFC? What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's going to be a surprise team that, you know what I mean? We're like, I don't think there'll be a Super Bowl surprise team, but I think there'll be a surprise team that, all right, it's a 17-week season, so, you know, that wins 11, that we're like, oh, wow, I didn't see that team going 11-6 or even 10-7. I mean, San Diego, here they go again. The Chargers are the team mm-hmm. that, you know, it's so easy to fall in love with. You know what I mean? And every year, they look like they're going to be, this is going to be the year. They're in a division, obviously, with the Chiefs, so they're in trouble there. But I still think the Chargers could be a team that could all of a sudden have this really solid record and be a team that you're like, well, yeah, but I don't see them going deep into the postseason. I just see them being a team that has a great regular season record and loses in the divisional round.
Speaking of Tim Grubbs, the voice of the Wind Surge over there in Wichita. We talk baseball each and every week with him as well. But, of course, he's a Steeler guy. Pittsburgh. I had to ask him.
Yeah, football guy. You know, I hear you. This is a fun time of year.
Well, I got another football-related sort of thing that you can understand. The Dome, man, for us to go check out the game on Monday, you got to be vaccinated, got to show proof of a negative test or a vaccination card. I know other sports are kind of going around there as well. Have you guys been doing that as well? And how is baseball sort of dealing with it?
Well, we are not at that point. Now, obviously, with me, you know, with my access to the team, back in the wintertime, I was told that I could not have my job as a broadcaster for the team and have access, you know, onto the clubhouse and into the team bus and et cetera if I was not vaccinated and did not get regularly tested. So, obviously, I fall under a different umbrella. But, I would have lost my job. If I wasn't willing to do all that. So, obviously, I've got access to the players, and, you know, I'm standing 3 feet from them at times. I try to keep my 6 feet, but there's times that, you know, when you're sitting right next to them. But, no, I get it. I totally understand it. I get both sides of it, but I'm all for, you know, hey, if that's what it takes, when media wants to talk to our players, we have to check their vaccination. You know what I mean? If you are not vaccinated, you get the Zoom interview. Mm-hmm. If you are vaccinated, you can get the interview in person.
Okay. How is, I guess, Major League Baseball going to keep me from just losing my mind now that I know that the Field of Dreams game is coming back next year, and it's the Cubs and the Reds. The reports are the 8,000 tickets that are available, 1,500 the team gets. Reinsdorf was saying that it's like Jordan playoff tickets to get. I'm not going to Iowa, am I, Tim?
You're not going to Iowa. my mother-in-law, who lives like a couple hours from the ballpark, wants to go, and she's asking me for access. Yeah. And I'm like, I was thinking if it was Twins, I'm now with the Twins organization.
Okay.
If the Twins were in the game, maybe I would have had a better chance. I don't think so, being that this is my first year with them. But No, they're not going to that game. And that game, incredible. I hope they do a little different twist next year. I hope instead of Koster, maybe it's James Earl Jones or something, you know,
right.
So they could do things a little different. I don't want to see the exact same thing, but what a wonderful night. It's great to see all the awesome TV ratings from that game and see it all come out. I think it's going to continue. I think there's a lot of those cool ideas. You know, a Sandlot game.
Yeah,
I don't know exactly how you would do it, but it seems you hear all these ideas now, and I think Major League Baseball, much like the NHL, with the NHL does these outdoor games on the first of the year and the stadium games. I think mm-hmm. the MLB has found that like its own niche. You know, they could do a game, two or three games a year, in different weird sites that might be able to get great TV ratings.
Speak with Mr. Tim Grubbs. Literally, that's his Twitter account, at Mr. Tim Grubbs. We're said Wind Surge to be here, of course. And each and every week, we talk a little Major League Baseball. Sir Otani hits his 40th home run, moves to 8-1 with the win. Is he the MVP and Cy Young?
He might. I mean, probably not Cy Young.
Okay.
He's going to win the MVP. I mean, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in Toronto is having a great year. But, you know, he picked the wrong year to have a great year. I mean, how do you not vote for Otani as the MVP when he's pitching like he is every fifth day and hitting like he is every other day? So, I mean, he's got to be the MVP, unless he falls off. I mean, obviously, it's easy to sit there and say that on August 19th.
Right.
But we still got more than a month left of the regular season. But, yeah, I think he's the MVP going away in the AL.
I'm interested if you have – I don't know, what would be the, I guess – thing that would be sort of similar to hitting a cycle in Major League Baseball, like for you, like just having a home run call game winner, you win the lottery. I don't know. I'm just trying to, what would be a similar accomplishment to hitting a cycle as a broadcaster?
For a broadcaster?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, having a player, it's a lot of fun to call home runs. It's a lot of fun to call triples. But
right.
I don't know. Maybe having a guy.
Call a no-hitter, a game-winning home run.
Walk-off home runs are
okay.
Awesome. You know, so, and I've never called a walk-off grand slam.
Right.
But, you know, walk-off home runs are a lot of fun, especially with the ballpark's packed. And
the reason I'm bringing it up is because Freddie Freeman of the Braves hit a cycle, went for the second career. And he credited his wife and cappuccino. Said, we had breakfast this morning. We had two cappuccinos delivered. She chose the cappuccino that was close to her hand in that one. So that's the credits. I'm just trying to see, like, what would you credit your wife for if you had a good day? Like, the breakfast, lunch, dinner. She packed you some snacks. I tend to steal some of Carver's fruit chews. I mean, you know, like, what's the thing that helps you get over the top there, bud?
I don't know. She doesn't really do much for me. I mean, I'm pretty, you know, she's great.
You're on your own, Tim. You're on your own when you leave the house.
I'm on my own kind of in baseball season because we have a different clock. You know, she's gone well before I leave the house. You know, we're like two ships sailing by each other in the night. You know, she's on the way to work and I'm coming home.
But, that's true.
Maybe just, you know, I don't know what I would credit it for. You know what I mean? I usually drink my green tea before a ball game just to get a little bit of, you know, caffeine or a little bit of energy. So maybe I would credit that. I don't know.
Quick check of the
Freddie Freeman.
No, no kidding, man. And look, that team sort of needed it from this standpoint. They are in first place now. I've opened a 3.5 game lead. They're 9-1. The Braves are 9-1 in the last 10.
What's amazing to me with Atlanta is, not that they're in first place, because if you would have asked me on opening day who's going to win that division, I probably would have said Atlanta. But it's crazy that a month ago we were writing them off. I thought they were silly for getting involved in trades at the deadline because they had already lost Acuna and Ozuna was suspended and Soroka was done for the year, their best pitcher with, I think, an Achilles or something like that. So I really thought they were done, and here they are. Coming out of nowhere in the last couple of weeks, although the Phillies' schedule is really easy down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
They got a lot of games against your Cubs, against my Pirates. They got a lot of games against the Nationals, who after all the sell-off is dreaded. So I still think the Phillies have a really good chance of winning the National League East.
So crazy to think the Nationals had a chance, obviously, for championships and all that. Just nuts that they're not at that. Brewers got the Central. They're 9.5 games above the Reds. And, dude, the Giants and Dodgers have put their foot on the pedal. L.A., 9-1 in their last 10. The Giants, 8-2 in their last 10. Chris Bryant just had a two-home run game, my former Cubby.
Yeah, that's crazy. And you know what's funny is, well, not funny, but which is crazy, is the Padres were the talk of the offseason.
Yeah.
And the Padres were the talk of everything. And now, all of a sudden, the Padres may not make the playoffs. This is a small market team in San Diego that kind of decided, hey, we're going to make some trades and push all the chips in for this year and next year. I think their door is not open, is not closing after this year. But if they don't make the playoffs, that's going to be crazy out there if they kind of miss out. But San Francisco is unbelievable. This team out of nowhere. You know, you and I were talking about the NFL, a team that comes where we wouldn't have predicted. I think everybody in baseball is still shocked and stunned that San Fran's at the top of that division.
When you look at the AL, I guess it's and that's why I left it for last there, sir, because there's really not much you have to kind of look at. A's and Astros are going to be battling 2.5 games there. Although the Mariners only 5.5 back. I mean, you got a full month. You never know what can happen there. Sox got the Central 12 up on the Indians. And the Sox kind of looked like they were going to win the East. The Rays are in the lead by 5 games over the Yankees. Rizzo's helped out. Again, another former Cubby there. What do you think of what you're seeing in the AL?
Well, Boston didn't do anything at the deadline. They stayed put. You know, you and I talked about it. The greatest Major League Baseball trade deadline of all time. And Boston sat pat and said, hey, you know what? We got Chris Sale coming off the disabled list. We're going to be fine. And look at them now. This is not good. If you're a Red Sox fan, they're ready to push the panic button up there now. Yankees are coming on strong. So I think the Yankees may make a push to try to get top Tampa Bay. But that now American League East is going to be interesting down the stretch, especially if Boston falls apart.
You know, my dad's a Yankee fan, so I may go ahead and just grab a little Yankee ball cap as well since Rizzo's there. You know, maybe a Giants cap just to aggravate the graph. And, you know, Chris Bryant's there, former Cubby there. So this is where I'm at, Tim. I got to root for other teams that had my favorite players.
No, I'm with you. I've been there with you. hopefully baseball, you know, hopefully these trades that our organization's made, right. We've got some talent. And the next, maybe not next year, but maybe 2 years from now, we can root for our teams again.
At Mr. Tim Grubbs is the way to follow him on Twitter. Thank you, sir. Appreciate the time. We will talk again next week.
Thanks, Gus.
All right. When we come back, we'll hear from Saints quarterbacks Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston as they both have given their thoughts of this week and get ready for the Jags game on Monday. I'll have that next on ESPN New Orleans.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply, 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Football is almost here, and there's no better place to get in on the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To bring you even closer to the action, DraftKings is giving all new players a free shot at $1 million during week one. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching a game quite like having a free shot at huge cash prizes. And while you're perfecting your daily fantasy skills, don't forget to check out DraftKings free-to-play pools where there is even more cash up for grabs. Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use code LAROSE. For a limited time, new players get a free shot at $1 million during week one. That's code LAROSE to get a free shot at $1 million in prizes with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into the conversation. Next 30 minutes. We're playing a lot of sound from today's Saints practice. So if you call, though, I'll definitely will go in with you. One of my questions of the day today is, where's your confidence level sort of with the quarterbacks today as opposed to when the camp started? So right now I'm asking you, is it different than when training camp started? Amy just spoke at the top of the hour. She would have thought that the team would have been a little further along. Quarterback battle would have been a little further along. It's not. I'm not here to tell you I told you so. That's why I just kept saying over and over for months, weeks. It's a potential playoff team. Potential. There's just too many I don't knows. It's different than in seasons past. When we went through with her the different positions, and you know, now you have a line that's calling and doing the mics, and you're still trying to get adjusted to that in practice. You've had one preseason game in which your two starting tackles didn't even go there. They're going to play that. And I know Sean Payton said that third preseason game is going to be just like they've always done, the dress rehearsal. So let's say they do that, and your starting offense, if everyone is healthy again. Amy said, Traquan Smith missed 2 weeks, came back limited Tuesday, came back full yesterday, didn't practice today. So let's say that third preseason game against the Cardinals, the Saints starting offense, that would be the first time in a game that you would be going with this. It just is going to take time. It's a common sense thing to me. We haven't played four quarters where Eric McCoy is picking out the mic all the time, where Teron Armstead can hear this. We haven't even gone on the road to see how that works. And I know other teams have done it. What I'm saying is the Saints have never done it since Drew Brees has been here. That's an element to it. Neither of these quarterbacks probably is going to have a starting line receivers or running back. They have an experience at receiver. I'm assuming they're going to face a certain kind and style of defense to try to stop Alvin Kamara. But all of that takes time. Not to say that they can't. Not to say that Callaway can't succeed. Not to say that Traquan Smith doesn't step up. Not to say that Deontay Harris, again, we don't know if he's going to be suspended or not. But what if we don't get to see him until the Patriots game in week 3? Because he suspended weeks 1 and 2. Packers, Panthers. What if Marshawn Lattimore suspended 1, 2, 3 games? I don't know. Sean Payton today said he hadn't heard from the team, planning on like he's going to be there. But those are different. David Onyemata's gone 6 weeks. You just be patient, I guess is the best way to put it. Peter on Twitter says, Winston will need to melt down to lose this competition. A little concerned that it's closer than it should be. P.S. All the Breeze haters will miss Breeze's snap to throw time. Was the fastest in the NFL. The season will be a roller coaster ride. He says, can't wait. That's how I look at it. Look, as long as you kind of know what's coming, sit back, relax. At least there's football. At least you can go to the dome. I know there's restrictions depending on how you are or not, but at least there will be. So let's start with Taysom Hill. And because this is something I just brought up. Building trust with these receivers. Again, Ty Montgomery's a running back trying to be made into a receiver. I mean, that's why there was an interception. So, Taysom, building trust with wideouts.
Yeah, well, I think, again, this kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier. You know, when you're in a game and you have a learning experience like that, you know, you don't forget those experiences. So, I think just having that rep in a game setting was enough, you know, to where we're going to focus on this, you know, and that was something that Ty and I were both going to collectively work together on. And then we had a drill specifically for that concept, how we read it, and we worked in practice to make sure that we're on the same page.
And that's what I'm saying right there. That is just an experience thing. And that's the thing that Taysom Hill has to overcome, I thought, going into this season. He's learning to be an NFL quarterback. It's different than being an NFL quarterback. I mean, a college quarterback. Some adjust quicker, but it's an adjustment. Peyton Manning was much better than his first season. Picks everywhere, losses everywhere. Just, it takes time. I'm sure he didn't have that good a team, but it takes time, learning curve. So that's why I keep saying, if you're going with Hill, you have to be patient. And your offense has to cater and go to it. But he added a little bit more about, look, you can learn more the more reps you get.
Absolutely. I think, Drew was a rep guy. He's a guy that wanted them, needed them, needed to see it all. And I would say that I'm a visual learner as well. And it's just so different when you get the rep. You know, maybe you make a wrong decision. Like, you learn from that experience in an entirely different way than if you just watch somebody do it. You see a lot of different looks, and, you know, you like what you did, and then, you know, you kind of get a grasp for that concept versus that coverage. And, man, I just the reps that you get are so valuable. And from, you know, a couple of weeks ago when we started to where I'm at now, I feel like my growth as a quarterback has been the most it's been since I've been here, and it's because of the reps.
Oh, no, he was asked a dreaded question. Are you trying to be like Drew?
No, I think we've talked about this where, man, there are so many things that I want to emulate that Drew did, and he's a Hall of Fame guy, and he's the greatest mentor that I've had in my career, but my game is different than his. So I think for me, it is finding that balance of, you know, check it down or throw it away or make something happen with my feet. And again, every situation is different, and it's finding that balance, you know. So there's going to be situations where, man, I wish I would have thrown it away, and there'll be situations where I probably wish that I wouldn't have tried to work a scramble drill, and I wish I would have just taken it and done that. But I think that's all part of the learning experience and this evolution of, you know, me playing quarterback.
Exactly. See, he's telling you. It's an evolution. He's learning the steps. And you heard in that answer a couple of components. When to get rid of the football. He expands on that.
Yeah, I think, what made Drew so special was his ability to recognize coverage and always get it to the right guy. And I would say that that's the natural progression as a quarterback, and I think that comes with reps. So as I look at this camp, I've been getting a lot more reps. My comfort level of getting through a progression, you know, making that right decision, checking the ball down when it needs to be checked down, all that stuff. It's all part of being a great QB. It's what I was able to see Drew do for so long, and so that's the natural progression for.
Two answers ago, we also touched on the fact that, you know, holding on to the ball, knowing when to release it.
You know, I think in practice there certainly is, because, you know, practice you're trying to work on timing with receivers. You're trying to, you know, certainly there's some scramble rule elements that you're trying to practice, but you're really trying to get receivers balls. And so I think you have to consciously take every rep like a game rep, you know, or sometimes you get in trouble in a practice setting. I think in a game, everything becomes very natural as you're making the right decision, as you're trying to move the change and all that stuff, but certainly in a practice setting for sure.
So here's an interesting aspect of it here as well, and I mentioned it as this gets closer to the regular season, and if you wonder, and you saw in some of those plays too, if do either of these quarterbacks hold back so they don't make the dreaded mistake? Do either of these quarterbacks say, I need to make a big play, I'm going to take a risk? It's interesting he was asked, can you relax knowing that every play right now, everything is being amplified? Because it is, isn't it? It is. If you only have 20 snaps, I mean, we're critiquing it. The sports shows are showing the highlights. I mean, there's only so many because it's not a whole game. It's a handful. Every team drill, it's about, what, 3-4 plays per each quarterback? You throw one pick out of those four plays, it's amplified, isn't it? It is. I mean, it's so little. to try to make a decision on.
I don't think it works that way. You know, I think every play call is a little bit different, you know, and so you guys can look at statistics and you can start to say what you want to say about those statistics, but internally, you know, we know what our concepts are. We know what the play call was, and I know if that was the right decision, and the ball went where it needed to go. So, you know, there's so many things that go into playing this position that outside of this building, you're just not aware of.
Finally, then we'll go to break. Taysom Hill, what does he want to prove to coaches?
I think it's all those things that we've talked about. You know, I think there's just some core things that you have to be able to do as a quarterback to play in this league, and so that doesn't change. You know, I feel really comfortable. I feel capable of doing all of those things that you need to do in this league to play quarterback. And then there's this whole element, you know, that I'm capable of doing on Sunday that you don't really get to showcase in a practice setting as well. And so I think in a game, you know, where you might get 15, 18 snaps or you play a quarter, the opportunity to showcase that is a little limited. So I think, you know, you try to do that in practice. You know, maybe there's a few opportunities in a game, but I think just trying to showcase all of that is what I would hope for. But again, those opportunities become limited when you're only playing a few snaps.
All right, quick break. When we come back, we'll go to your phone lines and more. It's the Sports Hangover on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, your friend Roland T. Jeremy here. Come to Golden Motors for your next new Chevy or Buick vehicle, or that nearly new pre-owned vehicle of any make or model. You won't be disappointed. Golden Motors been servicing the Lafourche, Terrebonne, and surrounding parishes for over 65 years. A small drive to save you money and get a wonderful buying experience. Buy from Golden Motors. They treat you like family. It's worth your time to give us a call or look us up at goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, where price is priority, 985-325-1000.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
I'm 5'11",
barely 5'4".
I weigh about 170 pounds.
Brown eyes.
Blue eyes.
Brown hair.
Gray hair.
I'm a baseball fanatic.
I'm a wife.
A mom.
A sister.
And a grandfather.
I'm a bodybuilder.
I'm a research analyst.
Small business owner.
Teacher.
Dance fitness instructor.
Film and television actor.
I'm an office clerk.
I'm a copywriter.
I'm a veteran.
I have a prosthetic leg.
I have multiple sclerosis.
I have lupus.
Cerebral palsy.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
I'm blind.
And I'm working in a job I love.
I love.
Because I was given a chance.
Because I was given a chance.
To contribute my skills and talents.
To show my disability is only one part of who I am.
Who I am.
Who I am.
At work, it's what people can do that matters.
For more information, visit whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
So let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Did y'all catch that there? The very last soundbite from Taysom Hill. Did you catch it? When he said, there's a certain showcase and things that I can do on a Sunday that you can't show at practice. You know what he means! It's what I've been saying! Tuck it in, baby! Fake the pass. Just run. Do it, Taysom.
You know, you might need to be Superman.
That's right. Taysom Hill wants to be Superman. Says I can be. I can be. Look, I agree with him 100% with what he said then. He's got things that he can showcase on Sunday you can't do at practice. That's right. Run him over. D, thanks for calling the show, man. How are you?
Hey, guys, pretty good. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good. I'm downriver today. Listen, about the quarterback, you know, they're not going to be able to scan the field as quick as Drew Brees is. I mean, Drew Brees will scan the field and tell you where all four receivers are, you know, so quick. I mean, they're not going to get to that point. Mm-hmm. The thing that scares me the most about each quarterback is Taysom Hill, first of all, looks kind of slow on his release. It just, to me, it looks like, you know, once he gets to be quarterback several games, you'll get to see that and take advantage of it. So I kind of don't like him actually going to be in the quarterback. I'd rather stay in the position he's been in. And as far as Jameis, I mean, you know, Jameis has already done it. You know, he's a gunslinger. The one problem with him, which is a really major knock on a quarterback, is he throws the ball high. And it's one of the worst things you could do as a quarterback, because when you do that, if the receiver's not there to save you, you're going to get picked off. And that's what happens with him a lot. I mean, if you notice, I've only seen two practices, but when you watch him, almost most of his throws are high, or high on the receiver to catch. That's not good. That's not good at all. And again, here we are with receivers. Najee Harris is small. You know, when you're trying to get a ball to a small receiver, things happen. And you've seen it with when he threw the ball to Lou Jordan. He's a big guy, and the ball was kind of high. Now, he should have caught it. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, that you know, when you throw a high ball like that, you've got a receiver coming across the middle. Unless he's got guts like Michael Thomas, he's going to short arm it. When you short arm it, well, you know what happens. And I think that's a scary thought on the same part. I really think they should be I hope they try to run the ball a heck of a lot more than we've used to doing it, you know? And, again, I still think Jameis is the best quarterback for us to have out there. But again, the high throws, it's going to cost us when we need it, and it's scary.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens on Monday, right? If Jameis Winston walks out there on that field and starts, which we all expecting with that unit, I'm asking you, D, what do we see? What do you need to see in those three series? Three TDs, a TD at least in those three. Do we, you know, no three and outs, the right reads, no turnovers? Like, what do you have to see to make you go, okay, see, that's the starter there?
It's turnover. It's turnover. Far done. He's unproven he can throw. I mean, don't get me wrong. He don't have, you know, Evans and Godwin and O.J. McDuffie to throw to. But it's turnover. I mean, if he's safe, you know, we're going to win a lot of games, because we should win the game. We have a good offensive line. We have good running back. We have a defense that, again, as much as we all want to cry what we lost, they've proven, and I don't want to say proved because we haven't seen any games yet, but a preseason. But in practice and stuff, you know, we haven't seen King Crawley look like King Crawley. And having the linebackers call look way better than what we thought they were going to do. And the interior line, you know, which we thought we were going to lose so much, which I still think we are when Anyamata's gone. But I think the defense is still going to be pretty stout. So if we rely on the running game or rely on defense, we should be all right. It's going to be turnovers. Going to be when we need Jameis to get us where we need to go. Is he going to throw that ball high? Is he going to make that play that costs? It's all about costing your team. And in a quarterback, and I said this to you guys a few months back, I mean, this guy's averaged two turnovers a game. You average two turnovers a game, you can't be my quarterback. Matter of fact, you're not going to win. So, I mean, he averaged two turnovers a game, you know, 2 years ago, and they were 8-8. Can you imagine if he only does one turnover a game? I mean, just, you know, I mean, the guy's got the talent. Just being a high thrower, that's the scary part of a quarterback right there, because he's not giving your receivers a chance to be comfortable coming across the middle, or he's got to make the play before he gets picked off. You know, it's tough, and I think that's going to be – I hope it didn't actually heal, because I truly believe Jameis is going to be the quarterback.
Right.
And if he's safe, we're going to be all right. I don't think we're going to be – I don't think we're winning no Super Bowl or whatever. But we're not going to be trash if he's safe. I think the worst part about Monday – well, the best part about Monday, if you ask me, is having 70,000 people in the stands and finding out where the fight's going to be. Because you know there's going to be Joe Mass policemen in the stands yelling at 50 people that are not going to have their mask on, but they're in the stand, and this is going to be fun. So I can't wait till Monday. I want to do the stand, guys.
I'm with you. Look, it's funny. I kind of look at it like that, too. And look, selfishly, one of the things that I'm going to be looking forward to, too, is, honestly, I can't wait to turn the phone sideways, and because that's how you should shoot video, people. Widescreen. Anyway, widescreen, D. I can't honestly wait, and I know it's a different team. And you know, I'm expecting 6-7 wins, so I know what I'm getting into. But I just legitimately want to hear your New Orleans say and the crowd. I legitimately miss that. I miss the smell of dome foam, the smell of nachos, the squeaking feet on the sticky floor. I miss people, man, and seeing all of that. And I know we're going through some yuck stuff right now again, but you know what? We're trying to move on and learn how to deal with it and live with it, if you can somehow, you know, imagine it. So we are different than a year ago, where we were looking at no preseason and a season opener where there would be no people. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to seeing what Monday is going to be like. And then, you know what? We'll be here on Tuesday morning.